not come from God. If fear is trying to creep in your life, it does not come from God. How do I know this? The Word says it. The Word says it. I hope by now that you've memorized this scripture. 2 Timothy 1:7. It says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind." Amen. That in itself is worth celebrating this morning. God has given us love. God has given us power. That word power is the same root word in Greek that we get the word dynamite. Dunamis. Dynamite. God has given us the power to drive the spirit of fear away from our lives. That dunamis power, that dynamite power is inside of you and me. If you are a child of God here this morning, that dynamite power to drive out the spirit of fear lives inside of you. Amen? It lives inside of you. And in you, there is no spirit of fear. Spirit of fear cannot come in without your permission. It cannot come in without you giving it permission to enter. But God has given you the power to drive it out whenever it tries to enter. Amen. It is that spirit of love that can cast out all spirit of fear. Perfect love casts out fear. The focus this morning is on the fear of lack. The fear of lack. The fear of not having enough. The fear of running out. The fear of lack revolves around money. Yes, we're going to talk about money this morning. And some of you might be thinking, oh snap. I picked the wrong Sunday to come. Well, you can hold on to your wallet. We're not going to do anything. Fear will cause people to do things, to buy things, to do crazy things. I didn't want to say the word, but I heard it. Somebody say hoard. Absolutely. Absolutely. I believe someday you and I, we're going to need to give an account to our children's children on the toilet paper situation of 2020. I hope you've journaled down a few things that you can recount later on to your kids, to their kids, to your grandkids on how you handle 2020. Because guess what? It's going to be written now in our history. Absolutely. You got some really cool story to tell. Ultimately, the fear of lack will cause you to believe one thing. That God is not enough. The fear of lack will ultimately cause you to believe of the lie that your God is not enough. Now that's a lie from the pit of hell. That your God is not enough. So right from the onset of this message, I'm going to tell you right now that your God is more than enough. In Him, there is no spirit of lack. In Him, there is no lack. In Him, there is above and beyond what you need. So our opening scripture this morning is this. 2 Corinthians 9:8. I want you to go crazy right now. 2 Corinthians 9:8. This is the word of the Lord. This is what the word of the Lord says. He says, and God will give generous, will generously provide all you need. God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. We serve a generous God. A generous God. Without holding back. God is not holding back any good thing from you. Would you believe that? God is not holding back any good thing from you. He's a good father. He's a father that is seeing your need before you even know you have a need. And he's making provision for you to have more than enough to cover everything that you need. In other words, if you need money to pay your bills, food, clothes, your car, your kids, whatever you need, God will provide. God doesn't just stop there. Because he's an overabundant God. He says you will have more than enough, plenty left over to share with others. So there's no need to hoard. There's no need to store toilet paper. There's no need to buy more beans. I went to buy beans at Safeway one time, and somebody stopped me and said, you got more than one bag. I'm like, are you kidding me? I've got 5 kids. They eat beans. So you're going to tell me I can only take one bag? Well, they allowed me to take 2 bags. Pinto beans that Kyla fixed. There's no need to hoard. Because God has blessed you and me with more than enough. You know, his name is Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh, the God that provides for all that you need. The very first time that this name is mentioned in the Word of God is when God spoke to Abraham. God spoke to Abraham saying, I am your Jehovah Jireh, the God that sees ahead and makes provision for your need. So God has already gone ahead of you and me. God has gone ahead of you and me and made a way where there seems to be no way for you to get all the resources that you need to do what is called you to do. So if you are a mom and dad and you need to feed your kids, guess what? God has gone ahead of you and made sure that you have all the beans that you need to feed your family. All the toilet paper that you need. I don't even want to go there. You get the picture. I can get myself in trouble really quick. God will generously provide all you need. Then you will have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. You know, this is a big promise. With a big promise comes a big condition. Sometimes we don't want that condition because we just want to have the promise. Guess what? God is a good father. He's going to bless you regardless. But there is a condition that is attached to this promise. And here's the condition. Simple. God wants to be first. He wants to be honored in that first place. God doesn't settle for second place. God wants to be first. He wants to be first in everything. He wants you in this position of first in your life, in that position, he wants you to trust him above anything else. above the government. Above everything else. Above the politics that you hear in the news. Above everything, God wants you to trust in Him. He needs to be first. That is the one and only condition. Can you choose to put God first in your life today? If you have fear, why don't you give God a chance to take over? Why don't you give God a little chance to step into your life and bring you freedom? Why be bound by the enemy? Why be bound by the enemy when God has died on that cross to set you and I free? It's time we come on out. Come on out of the graves and into the garden. Amen. We've been given the grace of God to give us everything we need above and beyond to step out of the grave and to serve a living God away from that spirit of fear. Since it is Memorial Weekend, I want to read to you a little piece of American history. On November 20th, 1861, James Pollock, director of the Mint at Philadelphia, wrote this in a letter to Congress. He said, "Dear sir, no nation can be strong except in the strength of God, or safe except in His defense. The trust of our people in God should be declared on our nation's coin." We're talking about November 20th, 1861. The Congress passed an act on April 22nd, 1864, "In God We Trust." That third appeared on an 1864 2-cent coin. On July 30th, 1956, under President Eisenhower, a law was passed declaring, "In God We Trust." That became the national motto of the United States. "In God We Trust" first was used on paper money in 1957. So today, I used that last night in our Bible devotion as we're putting the kids to bed. I had this dollar bill. And I passed this along to all my kids, and they all were looking at it. And I said, "What do you see right above the one?" And they all read it. And I'm sure you all know this, right? It says, "In God we trust." Ultimately, this is what God wants us to do, is to trust in Him. To trust in Him. To put all of our trust in Him and not into this piece of paper. Not in this, but in the God that we serve, in the God we trust. That is the God that you and I, we serve and we celebrate this morning. We celebrate a God that is in our defense. We deserve a God, we're serving a God that deserves to be here as a model to this nation, to this country, where you and I today, we can worship freely. Do you know that in many countries today, this morning, they're not even able to assemble freely like you and I, we are doing right now, with that same level of liberty that we have? One of the biggest church that I used to attend in England, in London, they actually worshiping behind closed doors. Just the pastor alone, not a single soul. Can you imagine? Can you imagine what they're dealing with? The turmoil that they're going through? We are probably, I don't know this for a fact, but I think we are the only nation that has this printed on money. In God we trust. That says something about our country that we are celebrating. For the people that who fought for a long time, shed their blood for you and I to enjoy this freedom. To say, in God we trust. I'm going to tell you a little story. A story from the Word of God. About a man by the name of Elijah. Elijah was a wild man. He spoke whatever God told him to speak. He didn't hold back. I believe it's coming a time where God is looking up for that same spirit that was on Elijah. Somebody who can be bold enough to stand for what is true. To speak for justice. To stand for what is right. To defend the freedom that people before you and I fought, defended. We're talking about 1860. Where this, I can't imagine the level of even persecution that they had, James Pollock had, when he was ordered by Secretary Chase to write this letter to Congress. I believe there was a strong opposition against him to do that. But when you read where he comes from strong Christian roots, where he stood up and he spoke the truth. Us as a nation, we need God. We need God. We need to put him first. We need to put all our trust in him. Let everybody remember. So that's the reason why this was put on our currency. Elijah was such a man that would stand up against kings and queens, against people that would try to suppress the word of God, the truth. We're living in a world, in a society right now, where that spirit of fear is prevalent, gripping, to the point where we can't just come out and say whatever we want to say. But today I'm going to tell you this. That spirit that was on Elijah is here upon this church. Where we going to make a stand and choose for what is true, for what is right. The truth that is found in the Word of God. We cannot compromise that. We cannot compromise what we know that is true, that what the Word of God is saying. At some point in time, we're going to have to give an account. I want to be able to stand in front of God and say, I stood for the Word of God. I defended the gospel. Even if it costs me everything. At some point in time, it's going to cost us something to defend the name of Jesus. He paid the price for it. It's time that we don't hold back. Because we've been silent for way too long. Way too long. So the spirit of Elijah is rising up. That spirit that was on Elijah that caused him to defy a king. And he said to this king, there won't be a drop of rain until I say so. So we pick up the story in 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 2. He says, then the word of the Lord came to him, Elijah, saying, get away from here, turn eastward and hide in the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from that brook. I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. The ravens brought him bread in the morning, bread and meat in the morning, bread and meat at night, and he drank from the brook. He drank from the place. He was fed from the place where God has placed him. You know why? He was under the commanded blessing of God. Before he went to the brook, God commanded the raven to provide for him. There was water in the brook that provided him refreshment. The place where God has placed you, guess what? He has commanded his blessing to be there for you. Jehovah Jireh, the place where he's called you to be, if it is here in Kodiak today and it is in California some other day, God has already provided a blessing for you. A commanded blessing of provision for you. He's already gone ahead of you. He's already made a way, a possibility for you to be fed, to be nourished, but under his commanded blessing. But then came a time when that brook for Elijah ran dry. So in verse 7 it says, and it happened after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain. Now you wonder why. I thought this was an unlimited supply. God commanded his blessing to be there, and that blessing was meant to be there forever. Well, I've got news for you. Here's the first lesson that you can learn from the brook. It will dry up. At some point in time, based on the laws of nature, the brook will dry up. Now, you might be in a similar situation today, where based on this COVID-19 economy, your job might be in jeopardy. Your job might be in question. Your revenue stream might be questioned. You don't know where the next paycheck might be coming from. Well, let me tell you this. Our God, the God that you and I, we serve, he is not bound by this world's economy. He's not bound by the world's economy. When you've made God the Lord of your life, he is your source. When you've made God the Lord of your life, he is your source, not your job. Not your job. Not the government. Not that PFD check that you get. Those are not your source. God is. God is reminding Elijah, the prophet that he chose, that he sent to this brook, that eventually this brook will run dry. Now, why did God do that? Why did God put him in a place where the brook would eventually run dry? Why couldn't God put him in a place where there would be a permanent source of food, water, supply? What God is trying to teach us is the brook is not the source. The ravens are not the source. But he is. He is the source. He is the one that provides. He is the Jehovah Jireh. He is the one who sees ahead and makes provision for you. So why worry? So what if the brook runs dry? Because when you are His, you are under His commanded blessing. Commanded blessing. Commanded blessing. When you are seated here, you are under His commanded blessing. He's commanding blessing to be here waiting on you. It's an endless, limitless resource that He's made available for you. But at some point in time, the brook will run dry. That's where God wants you to turn to Him. To Him. To make sure that you are continually living under His commanded blessing. It might be here today. It might be somewhere else another day. But as long as you're living under His commanded blessing, you will continually be provided for. You don't have to hoard. You don't have to worry about tomorrow. You don't have to worry about toilet paper. You don't have to worry about beans. Whatever you need, God will make sure you'll have it. If you were ever worried about toilet paper or beans this morning, I hope you leave this place knowing that God will provide those things for you. I hope you realize that God is a much bigger God than the government. God is bigger than Safeway. I don't know. I mean, I'm just saying. He's much bigger than Safeway. He's bigger than Safeway and everything that they have in stock. He doesn't run out of stuff. He's an all-sufficient God. His name is El Shaddai. He's God all by Himself. He is your all-sufficiency in all things. In Him, there is no lack. The kingdom of God is not broke. The kingdom of God doesn't go through a recession. The kingdom of God is always prospering. And in you are part of this kingdom, you will always prosper. When we use the word prosper, we think about money, but He has nothing to do with money. Prosper means being pushed forward by God. God will always push you forward. Whatever you need, He'll provide for you. It's not about the money. In fact, God wants you to stop thinking about money. Money in itself is not bad. It's just a tool to do whatever God has called you to do. You need to pay bills. Guess what? More than enough. There you go. Go take care of it. As long as God can get it through you, He'll get it to you. God is looking for conduit for Him to get the resources to you. If He can get it through you, He'll get it to you. Now that's something worth writing down. Something worth believing and remembering. When you see yourself as a conduit, God will get you all the resources that you need, because God can trust you that you will not hoard, you will not keep, you will pass it on, you would bless somebody else, you would be on the lookout for the widows, for the orphans, for the people that need to be blessed. You will be on the lookout. Who can I give it? Who can I bless? You'll be on the lookout. When you are on the lookout, God will provide more than enough for you. So what if the brook runs dry? God will line up another provision stream. When you look at the brook in your life, when you look at your jobs and everything else that is bringing a revenue stream for you, what if they do run dry? What if they do run dry? God will reroute another provision stream for you. Why? Because you're a child of God. You are under His commanded blessing. This is what God was trying to teach Elijah, the prophet of God. He was trying to teach him that the brook is just a brook bringing in water for your refreshment. The ravens are just birds that I've chosen to bring meat and bread for you. If they don't show up, guess what? I'll find another bird. If the brook runs dry, guess what? I'll find another stream. God is not running out of option, guys. God is not running out of stuff. He's got more than enough to cover everything that you and I will need. Then the word of the Lord came to him, Elijah, saying, arise. That's a good word, arise. The brook is running dry. God say, arise, get up, do something. See, sometimes when we look at our situation and we see the brook is running dry and you're like, oh, what am I going to do? Arise. That's what you do. Amen. Arise. Take God at His word. My God shall supply all my needs according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Arise. Take that word. Make that word alive in your life. Apply it in every part of your life, in every situation that you're dealing with a spirit of lack. You apply that word. You are my El Shaddai, my all-sufficient God. In you there is no lack. I'll have more than enough for me to meet every need that me, my family, my friends, my church, my community have. Every need will be met because I am your chosen conduit. Get it to me, Lord, because I'll get it through me. I'll pass it on to somebody else. When you have that type of heart, that type of attitude, there's nothing that can stop you from receiving more than enough, overflowing. Your cup is constantly running over. You're looking for opportunities. Oh, I bless this one today. Oh, you know what? I'm looking for another one. Oh, you're next. And you're next. And you're next. When you have that type of attitude, that type of spirit, God will get it to you. Because He knows that you're not holding back. Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. Stay there. And now here's this word. I have commanded a widow to provide for you. See, one brook was running dry. God rerouted something else. A widow this time. Elijah met the widow and he asked her, bring me a little water. And while you're at it, get me a piece of bread. Now God spoke to Elijah, but did not speak to the widow. She had no idea what was coming. Here comes Elijah showing up at her door and say, hey, can you get me some water? And while you're at it, could you get me a piece of bread? Have you had any visitors come into your house? Say, hey, can I get a glass of water? Hey, while you're at it, can you get me a slice of that pizza over there? Now, she was perfectly fine getting the water. Perfectly fine. But listen to her reaction when Elijah asked for bread. I mean, she was livid. She was mad. As the Lord lives, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread. I mean, I hope you catch the attitude there. I mean, I know it might be hard to get it in New King James Version. But there's a little attitude that we're seeing. As the Lord your God lives, I ain't got no bread. Only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. See, I'm gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son. Now, if this is not attitude, I don't know what it is. That we may eat and die. I mean, can you imagine if you go to somebody's house and you say, can you get me a glass of water? And while you're going up to the fridge there, get that cool water, you know, that the one that I need a couple of ice cubes in there. And while you're at it, can I have a slice of pizza? I mean, the attitude was like, man, we're going to eat this, the one and only slice of pizza. We're going to eat this and we're going to die. I mean, there's a little bit of attitude there in the New King James Version. But I've got another version for you this morning. It's called the Gangsterhood Version. Kyler. What's up, Kyler?
What's up? So this is the NHV, the New Hood Version. Connor knows about it. We talk about it most of the time. What's up? So I imagine after being asked that dumb question, right? Like, she's probably like this, right? She steps up to him, gets all up in his grill. So something probably like this, right? Like this. And then she's probably like, dog, come on, dog. You see this? You see us around? We're in a famine right now. You want to come up in here, ask me that dumb question, ask me about bread? I only got a, you see that right there, that little pop? That's for me and my son right now. That's a biscuit. Why am I going to make this biscuit? Unsalted, unbuttered, unjellied. We're about to make this. Hey, listen, we're about to make this. Now we're about to go. I'm about to go eat it with my son, and we finna die after that. So you want to come up here asking all these questions, talking about, let me get a piece of bread. No, we ain't got no bread. I got this half biscuit for me and my son. I promise. Your Lord knows this. Why don't you know this? A half biscuit. Half of a biscuit. We're about to go die after this. Just, you better get up out of my house right now. That was the New Hood Version.
Straight from the hood. We did not practice this, by the way. Only Kyla can pull that kind of thing off. Now listen. You might even get mad at what God is asking you to do. I mean, that was a hard thing. That was a big ask, a big sacrifice to ask somebody for that last piece of bread. Knowing that this is the last piece, this is it. Her brook, I mean, dried up 2 weeks ago. Here come this man of God showing up and asking for that last piece. Big ask. Big sacrifice. But there behind the scenes, how many of you would believe that God is always working behind the scenes? When we don't know, God is working. God was already working behind the scenes. Even though there was not a single word that was given to the widow, had no idea that Elijah was going to show up. But God was working behind the scenes. God was rerouting a provision stream from the oil jar, from the flour bin, back to him. God knew that there's not going to be enough flour or enough oil. But behind the scenes, God is rerouting the provision stream back to him. God, behind the scenes, couple of S's there for importance. Behind the scenes, God is working overtime to reroute your provision stream. Are you going to lack? Are you going to run out if God is rerouting your provision stream? No. When the brook runs dry, you'll find another way. You're not going to be in lack, because lack is not found in his name, because his name is El Shaddai. Amen. The all-sufficient God. He's all-sufficient all by himself. In him, there is no lack. When there is lack in your life, you might need to look up to the provider. You might need to put your trust back in him instead of this. You got to get your mind on God instead of your mind on your money. You know, I got my mind on my money and my money on my mind. When God is rerouting your thoughts, he wants to reroute it back to him and not to this. He wants you to recognize him as your source. He wants you to know that he is your El Shaddai, the one that sees ahead and makes provision for all of your needs. No fear. No fear. Verse 13. Got to bring this home. And Elijah said to her, "Do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake first." Now he's asking for it. "Bring it to me, and afterwards, make some for yourself and your son." And here comes the promise. "For thus says the Lord of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day of the Lord sends the rain again." Now that last part is very important. Until the day of the Lord that sends the rain again. You know what God is saying? Your bin of flour will not run dry. Your flour, your jar of oil will not run dry until the rain comes again. God is teaching. He says eventually, even that brook is going to run dry. When the rain comes, you're going to need to look at me as your source again. Because God is very careful here. God doesn't want the widow to put his trust, her trust, in the flour bin or the jar of oil. Because when the rain comes, they will stop. God is constantly reminding us that the brook will run dry. But he won't. The rain will come. And the bin of flour will not produce any more flour. the jar of oil will not produce any more oil. But I won't stop providing for you. I will reroute another provision stream for you. How many of you have ever been to a buffet? Like a limitless buffet. Like Golden Corral. Come on now. I'm talking about pre-COVID-19, okay? Now, buffet might be a thing of the past. We might need to write this in a journal somewhere because our children's going to figure, they're going to, when we say buffet, like, what are we talking about? Buffet? Oh, they had no idea. They won't have any idea what a buffet is. Knowing that you can go back multiple times, right, in a buffet. What would your first plate look like? Do you feel like you need to go in and pile it up for the first plate? No, unless you're Kyler. He will go in and I'm goodness. I'll be like, Kyler, this is a buffet. Well, Pastor Shannon, the fried chicken. Well, if that's the last piece of fried chicken, they're going to bring more. It's a buffet. Life with God is the same way. God owns it all. He has an unlimited supply. You don't have to approach life with a fear of lack. He's got you covered. You can go back for that second piece of chicken. One time. Last scoop of mac and cheese. It's not the last scoop. There's more. There's more. You don't have to hoard. You can share. If there's anything good that can come out of this pandemic thing, you know, as we're wrapping up this series on fear, God is a good God. He has not given us the spirit of fear. He wants His children to come back to Him. Free. Free. All these things just come on out. Come on out. Of the Lord is open. Come on out. Don't live in fear. Don't let the enemy paralyze you. Stop you from trusting in God. In God, we trust. In Him, we trust. We don't trust in anything else. We don't trust in that fear that is being fed through every outlet media that you can think of. We don't have to subscribe to this. We serve a living God. Nothing catches God by surprise. He's gone ahead of us. He's making a way. there is no way. Here's how the story ends. The widow went and did according to what Elijah said. She and he and her household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry. At the end, her source was no longer the jar of oil, nor the flour bin. Her provision stream was rerouted back to him. I believe God is trying to do this in your heart right here, right now. He's trying to reroute you back to him. And he's trying to say this: I am your source. Would you trust me? Would you trust me? All he wants is just a place in your heart. He wants the throne of your heart. That's it. He wants the throne of your heart. This is how Jesus said it in Matthew 6:24-25. He says, no one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved with money. Now, Jesus is not saying money is evil, okay? Money is just a tool, simply a tool to do whatever God has called you to do. What Jesus is saying here, it's a question that he's asking, really. Who is sitting on the throne of your heart? Is it me? Is it something else? He's talking about money, and Jesus talked about money in more than 50% of all the parables. Talk about money to define many things. Because you know why? Usually what's gripping your wallet is also gripping your heart. Then he goes on and says this: that is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. Not to worry about everyday life. Whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear, isn't life more important than food? Your body more than clothing? Isn't that amazing? God is thinking about all of these things together. Food is important. But he's saying, isn't the life that I've given you more important than the food that you're trying to keep, trying to save? Don't worry. Worry invites fear. Worry invites fear. Fear dethrones. Fear dethrones God in your life. Worry invites fear to come in. You say, you know, I don't fear. I'm just worried. Or I'm just concerned. Your concern, your worry invites the spirit of fear. When the spirit of fear comes in, he's not coming in to visit. He's not coming in to have tea with you. Fear comes in to occupy. Fear is relentless. He's coming with a grip not to let go. calls you to do things, say things, believe in things that will take you away from God. Fear will dethrone God in your life. Would you please stand? I believe the Spirit of God is doing something right now. For you who are watching online right now, I know that God is doing something behind the scenes in your life. He's rerouting your provision stream. Your trust is not in your bank account, not in your retirement fund, not in your investments. Your trust is in Him. What's the point of having a bank account full of paper and you miss out on the true God, the El Shaddai, the one that can make sure that your provision stream will never run dry because it's connected to Him.
I was thinking, as we just pray and close and just have that quiet reflection time, when you think about your brook, ask the Holy Spirit, have I been trusting too much in my brook rather than who provides the brook? Because, you know, He said so well that, you know, brooks will dry up, right? Seasons will end, jobs will end, new jobs will come. But if we're just quiet ourselves for a minute and ask Him, have I been trusting too much in the brook, your job, the economy, your paycheck every 2 weeks? And then I was thinking, even in yourself, your ability to use Amazon, right, your ability to go to the store, your ability to buy whatever you want, your ability to have certain resources whenever you need them. Do you know what I mean? Sometimes we can almost make ourselves our own brook and our own ability, right? Have we been trusting in that too much? So what a timely word to say, hang on, none of that matters. You are the one that provides all of that. Have we been trusting in the economy? Have we been trusting in the stimulus, or those that live in Alaska, our PFD, all of those things? Have we been trusting in that more than we should? Have we been placing that at a priority higher than what it should? And that's what I think we can ask Him and say, help me to reevaluate. Help me to reroute that priority and help me to put You back where You belong. Yeah, all of those things are good. All of those things are necessary. But those are not Your source. And I think that eliminates fear when you think you have to do all of that yourself, right? Or you have to worry about your job. You have to worry about your economy. You don't have to. He's already providing. If there's a different job for you, He's already making that way. He's already providing that for you. If Amazon goes away, if cars goes, or Safeway goes away, or Walmart, it does not matter. He's making sure His children are covered. You don't have to. You do not have to worry about that.
Yes.
So we'll just take a minute or two and just ask the Holy Spirit, are there brooks in my life or in my own amazing ability to acquire resources? Have I been making that a little too high a priority? Father, as you reveal to us in only the way that You can, it's incredible how You can do that we can all be talking to You and looking to You, and in the very same moment You can be speaking so individually to us at home and us that are here and say, hang on, your Coast Guard job, your job here in town, your job somewhere else. That's a little too much of a priority. You're making that you're broke. You're making that you're too dependent on that. And I want you dependent on me. So what if it all goes away? Who cares? He will never go away. His provision will never stop.
Yes.
How much he delights when we breathe free from that and go, if all of what is my current brook goes away, it doesn't matter. Because you are more than enough. More than enough in every capacity. More than enough emotionally. More than enough spiritually. More than enough financially. More than enough physically. We do not have to fear those areas.
Yes.
How free that feels. Yes. Help us. Help us. Especially those who feel like they have to hold on so tightly to what is their current brook. Help them to be free from that. Help them to see the freedom, to see the benefit, to see the truth in your provision. And we thank you for it. Help us throughout the week. If there's moments where we might respond or we might act in a certain way where you say, hang on, that's not our source. You are. Help them to see those and to kind of tune their ears to your voice in the specific day-to-day moments throughout our week.
Yes.
And we thank you for helping us to grow in this area and give it to you. And we thank you for it.
Amen. So good to see you guys again. I cannot stress that enough. It is to see real life people. For those who are watching us online, I hope next week you may join us again online or here.
Yep.
We'll be here
yep.
waiting.
Yep. Amen. Yep. We love you. Have a great
God
week.
God bless you.
Okay, hang on. I have a little quick thing. I wanted to wait till we stop going live. Listen, for those of you, we just now stopped going live. I want y'all to do us a favor, okay? For those of you that were in the building, obviously, the ones I'm talking to, would you kind of, in your own way, make a post on Facebook or share something?